Hey everyone, it's Lady A
and DJ,
and welcome to season 2 of Money, Romance, and Greed.
Yeah, MRG is back, y'all.
We
what's poppin'?
Are back.
Ooh. Yes, sir.
I'm so glad. And let me tell you, DJ, I think we have some of the best fans in the world. I don't care what nobody says.
We got to.
We got a lot of love when we were gone in between season 1 and season 2.
Right, right.
When people were like, where's Lady A and DJ? Like, when are you guys coming back? So, we here, y'all.
Yeah, we back. We back like we never left. Love y'all.
Exactly.
Ain't nothing changed.
And like I said, we have a hell of a season for y'all this year.
Yeah, it's going down. It's going down.
Okay. So, we promised the drama, right, DJ? Here it is.
Let's get into the drama, mama.
So, we gonna get into the drama. So, we are actually talking about a woman named Frances Newton, okay? And this is, DJ, I swear, this is like one of the craziest stories that I've actually heard in quite some time. And you know, we love crazy.
Oh, we love crazy.
We love true crime. We love drama.
We love it.
That's affiliated with true crime.
Frances Newton. What old Franny do?
So, okay. So, this is very interesting. On April 7th of 1987, Frances Newton calls 911 to report that her husband, Adrian, who was 23 at the time, her son, Alton, who was 7, and her daughter, Farrah, who was 21 months, were all dead.
What?
Yeah, dead, gone, both, over.
Her son, her daughter?
Her husband, her son, and her daughter. Whole family just wiped out.
Three bodies.
Damn. Three of them, just gone.
And where's she at?
Walked in. Okay, it's crazy. So at the time of their deaths, Frances and her cousin had been out all day running errands and had returned back to Frances' apartment complex located at 6126 West Mount Houston Road, and this would have been in Houston, Texas, and this is the same apartment that she shared with her husband and her two children.
You been out all day running errands, and your folks come up dead?
And
okay,
gone.
What's
gone.
Happening?
Gone. Everybody just boom, right? Okay. So in an interview, Frances indicates that when she and her cousin Sandra came back to the apartment, the door was open and the phone was ringing. Frances indicated that she walked in and proceeded to answer the phone. She indicated that she called out to Adrian and he never responded. She then turned toward the couch and there he was sitting on the couch. She said that she saw blood coming from his head.
Damn, that's a hell of a sight.
Could you imagine? Okay, wait. So, okay. Hey, honey, I'm home.
Look, nah, Lady A, it wasn't even that. You show up at the crib, the front door wide open, you hear your phone ringing, you go grab the phone. Hey, Adrian, look around. He got two holes in his head.
In his head.
Damn.
Damn, dog. What the hell just happened here?
So, do you answer that call or do you.
Well, she had. Right, like, excuse me, I'm busy right now. I'll have to call you back later.
So, what the.
So, the person on the phone, when she. So, she did answer the phone, right? And then that's when she turned to look for Adrian, and I guess to let him know that she was home or be like, well, why the hell is our front door open or whatever. Right. So when she did answer the phone, the person on the phone was a lady named Jewel Nelms. Okay. N-E-L-M-S. Nelms. And that was Frances's mother. So she tells her mom to come over. Adrian has blood all over him and the kids aren't moving. So her mom jumps in the car and drives over.
What the hell done happened?
It's just crazy. So by the time she arrives, the mom, the ambulance, the police, and a big ass crowd of people was already on the scene.
Oh my God.
They was already there. Like, okay, what's up
and
with that?
And if you the mom, you know it ain't good.
It's not good if you got the police, ambulance, and you know they probably had the duct tape, you know, like the yellow tape and all this old nonsense that's across the apartment complex.
I can't deal with these fools. What's happening, Lady A?
Oh my God. So police find Adrian on the couch shot in the head. Mm. Her son and daughter were in their beds, each both shot in the chest.
How old are the kids?
The baby. Okay, so the son was 7 and the baby, Farrah, the little girl, she was 21 months.
Oh, my God.
And that is just like, whoa, who kills babies nowadays,
man,
right?
People are animals out here, man. God.
And what? No one survived this, y'all. Okay, so everybody in there is all dead, gone, you know.
Did it say where the babies were shot?
They were in their beds. They were both shot in the chest.
Wow.
I mean, like, that's targeted. Like, seriously, you know, to
one shot, two shot?
It just said shot in the chest, so probably one. Wow. You know, that's probably all it takes.
I know, but it's like, oh, they felt that. And they bled out. Oh, my
yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Hey, it's somebody got to pay for this. I'm going to tell you right now.
Man.
Who we looking into, Lady A?
So, Jewel, Francis's mother, said that when police told Francis they were all dead, Francis passed out.
Bottom line.
And they couldn't bring her to. Like, she literally, like, just passed out on the ground.
I feel her. I did the same
shit. Hit the ground, and they just couldn't revive
her. Damn, they're dying. Shit.
Yeah, and so they actually had to call another ambulance just to pick Francis up.
This is a crazy ass story, but I feel you. Hey, your loved one dead. What? Boom. Ooh, I'm passed out. I don't even know.
Because I'm sure she, especially even if her
it's
husband,
overwhelming.
It is overwhelming because even if your husband passed away, that's bad enough. But then for your two babies to be dead as well, I mean, you have just been dealt a lethal blow.
At this point, you might as well put one in my head, too. Fuck you. I'd rather be with her.
Yeah, I mean, I would have thought her not getting up that she had just died at the spur of the moment. Like, oh, my God.
So what?
So once Frances came to, police immediately began questioning her about her marriage to Adrian and what had been going on with them on the day of the murder.
They're wasting no time. Oh, what? She up? Yeah, what? Bring her here. Bottom line. I need to see about you.
They be quick with it,
though. Hey, you got to, though. Time is of the essence.
I'm sorry for your loss. Yep, I really, truly am. But
talk
I'm gonna
to me about you and your husband's relationship.
And so according to Frances, she can attest that from the onset of the investigation that she told detectives everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and she never tried to hide any details of her relationship with her husband from the cops.
This is heating up. So what's the good, the bad,
and
the ugly?
It gets real deep. Okay, so there were claims that the two were having marriage issues, but Frances says that she would never hurt her family. In fact, Frances tells police that her husband, Adrian, had been both using and selling drugs. She claims that a drug dealer by the name of Charlie killed her husband and children out of anger for Adrian not paying a drug debt.
How the hell would she know that? That's just a story that she come up with off the top?
Well, and this is a claim that was corroborated by Frances's mother. Because Francis' mother...
Did he get death threats? You're not just going to tell me anything.
Right, exactly. Well, Francis' mother, Jewel, says that Adrian came to her a few months before the murders and told her that he owed money to drug dealers.
Okay, how much money?
We don't know. I guess enough to kill him.
Yeah, you're right. I guess that's anecdotal.
I mean, here's the thing, though.
Right.
You make a good point, though, DJ. I mean, we're talking about the drug cartel? Because, to me, the only time your kids is going to get involved in this death, because I can catch you outside your street. I can catch you opening up the door. You know, I can catch you anywhere.
Yeah, but
I'm not going to kill your kids, too. Like, what does that have to do with it?
Yeah, they kill you and your babies. It's absolutely the cartel.
Exactly.
Say no more. Move on.
Thank you.
Move on. You don't want to talk about that cartel, y'all.
Yeah, we're not going
right now.
We ain't going to them.
But we're going to find out what happened, though.
Exactly. Shit. And so these are the same, you know, these are the questions that the police is like, okay, well, the more you answer, the more questions I have for you.
Thank you.
So earlier in the day, prior to the murders, Frances indicates that she heard Adrian and his brother talking about some trouble they gotten into. She says she tried to listen in on the conversation, and she even asked questions, but she was never able to get a full story from
them. So this is the first time I'm thinking of the brother?
Right. So the brother is over Frances and Adrian's house, and I guess the claim is that they're both in drugs, and they're both in drug trouble?
Oh, so they're selling dope together?
Right. But then they're using it. So they probably, using the product
selling,
that they're selling?
Selling dope, using it, and then ran off on the plug. That's what.
That's not a good look.
But that's a story that she's saying.
Right. Because Adrian's dead.
Thank you.
So Frances also tells police about the .25 caliber gun she found when she went through the house looking for her husband's drugs. She said that when she checked the cabinet where Adrian normally kept his drugs, there were no drugs, but there was a gun. She tells police she got scared and thought the brothers were going to go get into some trouble. So she took the gun and put it in a vacant house next door to her cousin's
I already told you, don't lie to me. You cannot just tell me anything. Well, I looked where the dope was. It wasn't a dope, but it was a gun. I was so scared, I took the gun and ran and threw it in the abandoned building. Shut up. If you don't press this girl. Okay. So after that lie, then what?
Right. So police questioned Francis's cousin, who witnessed Francis hide the gun.
You got to be motherfucking joking. She really did that?
She really did it, and she had a witness, her own cousin.
Oh, a witness?
Saw her go over there. Because remember, she said that there was a vacant house next to her cousin's home. And so she saw Francis go over there and put that gun in there.
Okay, but my thing is, Francis just killed the goddamn husband and the baby. And she threw away the murder weapon.
And that's what they're trying to figure out. What's here. Happening? So Sandra takes the police to the vacant home to actually retrieve the gun. And it goes in for testing immediately. The lab report comes back confirming that that was the gun that killed Adrian and their two children.
I swear to God, I need to be a goddamn cop. It didn't take me to send it to a lab or nothing. I just knew. You just know. Okay, so now it's time to press this motherfucker. What's really good?
So that's when police really started looking at Francis. Although there was one sheriff who says he didn't believe that Francis had committed those crimes.
There's always one. There's always one.
Surprisingly, for it to be a cop to say, you know, I was a little bit thrown off by the sheriff saying, no, I don't think she did it. I think drug dealers really did this.
More and more, cops are becoming naive. I'm sorry, common sense is not so common
is
anymore.
Is that the reason
so
why? Hated. Is that the reason why they can't solve no crimes?
Man, they couldn't catch a gun. Please. Continue.
Okay, so they say, he says there was no gun residue or blood on Francis. So that is the main reason why. I mean, and I have to kind of ask the question. If I shoot somebody, particularly somebody in the head, I'm going to have backfire, which means that they're part of their brains or blood or something is going to be on me.
Yeah, at bare minimum, you had gunpowder on you. However, that doesn't mean that she doesn't know what happened. I mean, you leave a gun there, give it to the cops or something. Come on, man. You don't touch the gun and then you go stash the gun, which turns out to be the murder weapon.
Right. And so, I mean, and so even if that was the case, wouldn't she still have some type of blood stains just from the backwash of the blood?
Not necessarily. Hey, I dropped off a bag. Hey, kill him. Okay, I'm killing, but I'm going to give you the gun and you shoot the gun. Okay, boom, right. That's that.
So then that could have been a possible another person involved in this whole situation.
I don't know yet, though. Yeah.
This is crazy, y'all.
Keep your eye on Franny. Dead ass.
So, however, detectives claim that further testing did reveal that gunpowder nitrate was on the hem, okay? The hem of Francis' skirt that she wore that day. At the very bottom, though. But wait a minute. You're saying I shot my two children, boom, boom, while they were laying in their beds, and I shot my husband twice, so he's sitting up, or he's on the couch. How did it end up all the way down here?
We're not saying you did it, we're saying that you know who did it. We're saying that you know more than what you say that you know.
Yeah, and we're looking at you as really
you
like you're the person who did it.
You took the gun and stashed it in an abandoned home.
Why did she do
that? I'll lock your ass up just for that.
I really wish Francis hadn't have done that.
You tampered
because,
with evidence.
Thank you.
That's a year.
That's because now they really looking at her.
That's
at
a
first
year.
They were like, well, we don't know. She could have did it. But then once the cousin was like, nah, well, you know she wouldn't stash that gun over there. Let me go take it where it is. Now they looking like, well, why didn't Francis tell us this? So, okay, y'all, it's crazy. So the plot thickens, okay? 2 weeks after the murders, Francis is arrested and charged with 3 counts of capital murder.
Yep.
Okay? Since she was unable to hire her own attorney, Francis was assigned a public defender.
Oh, she cooked. Damn.
Yeah, ain't that terrible.
It's over.
You know what? And I'm going to tell you right now, I apologize in advance to any public defender that listens to this podcast.
Yeah, because a few of them.
Some of y'all need to be.
Yeah.
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 We're just going to leave it there.
We know.
Some of y'all ain't good at all.
Not good at all. Not worth the paper worth your diploma's written
Thank
on.
You. Some of y'all shouldn't even wasted y'all time going to law school.
You went to law school with all of your music, you passed your bar, this and the third, just to get a job. Like, seriously. You can be running your own
exactly.
practice.
Exactly. But you know why they ain't running their own practice? Because they're not good.
Thank you. Thank you.
I could just about imagine. They parent probably told them, or my daddy was one, so I'm going to go ahead and be one. And it's in the safe zone exactly. to be a public defender.
And I'm going to do you a solid. Shout out to the good public defenders.
Thank you. Because there digress. Are some good. Yeah, yes, there are some really good mm-hmm. public defenders that really care about their clients. And they become a public defender for purposes of making sure right, that certain right. people don't fall through the cracks of the
but
justice
most
system.
Most are lousy.
But most of them are pretty bad.
Yeah.
Okay. So, unfortunately, not having legal representation, as we just talked about.
She cooked.
Proved to be very damning. For instance,
I'm sorry, y'all. Damning.
This went from bad to worse real quick.
What'd they give her? She got three bodies? What'd they give her? Triple life?
So, Frances claims that during her trial, her attorney didn't talk to anybody, present any witnesses, or ask any probing questions.
That's about right. Public
once again,
defender.
Once again.
Damn.
This does not apply to the people who really care about their clients.
Damn.
But for all you pathetic public defenders out there, y'all should be ashamed of y'allself.
Damn.
Just go take another job. Be a consultant or something like
Post
that.
Post office hiring. I'm going to tell you right now, you ain't built for that. I know you passed your bar, but you ain't got what it takes.
Thank you.
You ain't got what it takes.
And it shows. Believe you me, people, it shows when you are pathetic, okay?
Yes.
So in the meantime, while her public defender is doing jack shit, literally, sitting for his next paycheck to come in the
That's
mail,
it.
Prosecutors contend that 3 weeks before her family was murdered, Frances took out a life insurance policy on her family and named herself as the beneficiary.
I knew that. What the?
Do people
She's so
not
dumb.
Get the memo?
She's so dumb. The week before, she wasn't right at all.
3 weeks before, she's like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go ahead and get it.
3 weeks before, you got it on the first, by the 20th they did. Come on. Come
yeah,
on,
now
man.
See, that's not okay.
Come on, man. You're not bright. And now, look, the next day, you wait on the payout. Come on.
Thank
man.
You.
Come on.
And my thing is, if, oh my God. Do people not think that that's not going to be one of the first things that a police officer or a homicide detective is going to look at? Okay, I'm going to tell you right now, your cell phone is going to always fuck you up. All the time. And the life insurance policies. People, what's the name of our show? Money, Romance, Greed?
Yeah.
It's one of them categories every single time.
Every time going to get you.
It's crazy. Some report the policy was either $50,000 and then some say that it was $100,000, but there was really never a definite number. And I actually did do further research on that because I wanted to see if somebody
was
able to narrow it down. Nobody was able to really narrow it down
to
how much it was.
If it was narrowed down, $50,000, $100,000, that's a minuscule amount of money to
Thank
murder
you,
somebody
to murder your own
your
family.
Babies?
Yeah.
Your babies?
Yeah, that's not what's up. That's not
She
what's
need to be
up.
Under the jail. If she did it.
If she did it, right? And so prosecutors...
It ain't looking
because,
good.
Here's the thing. This is just the prosecution. When they go into court, that's one thing, y'all, we have to understand about prosecutors. They oftentimes come up with a theory, and they just put a story together, and they're like, well, according to the prosecution, this is what really happened. And it just may be some shit that just... It just makes sense to them.
It could be, but... You need the paperwork. I mean, like, you got a paper trail.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. 3 weeks ago, she took out a life insurance policy. That ain't nothing that nobody making up. That's her signature. That's a policy for $50,000 to $100,000.
And that is true. And that is very
damning. And then they come up dead.
What? 3 weeks after? I mean, when you're financially strapped, I mean, what's
gonna tell
the whole
you,
deal here?
I'm going to tell you, come to find out Franny was probably goddamn junkie or something. Has some old pimp or something.
And she claims her husband was the junkie.
Right, exactly. Yeah, take one to know one. Remember that, y'all. Take one to know one.
Yeah, for real. That's crazy. Okay, so, and then the other part of the prosecution's accusations against Frances is that they say that the couple was having marital problems. And Frances had a boyfriend.
I believe it. Yeah, I told you, old pimp.
And they were actually able to validate that she had a boyfriend. Why? Yep. Because they talked to him.
Yep.
You know? They had a conversation with this man because here's the thing, right? Isn't the typical plot that, one person meets somebody else and then they plot against the other person to kill
him? I mean, they dumb. They ain't smart at all. They ain't smart.
Right. But Francis' boyfriend was cleared of any wrongdoing. He had nothing to do with any of these murders.
Even if it wasn't him, it was her. It was her.
And I'll tell you, even if it wasn't her, all of this circumstantial evidence and some of it factual evidence does not look good when your husband and your two babies have been mysteriously murdered and you just, on the one day that you went shopping, they end up dead. You know,
Three weeks after you put a life insurance policy.
3 weeks after you put the life insurance policy out there. So that
And come to find out that you've been cheating.
And you were cheating. So, yeah, that's about what, about, DJ, I think we just said about 4 or 5 things right there.
Exactly. It ain't looking good, Freddie.
Nope. So, prosecutors say Frances wanted the money and the boyfriend, and that's why she murdered her family. And that is the prosecution's case against her.
I mean, you're damn right.
Solely based on what I just told you guys.
Yeah.
Woo. Okay. So, and with her having no defense...
What could she do?
At the end of the trial, Francis was found guilty of all charges and sentenced to death. Okay? Her family was absolutely devastated. Francis's family did not accept the verdict, and they searched for a new attorney immediately. So they actually had to kind of put some money together, be like, you know, Francis is being thrown under the bus for some murders that she did not commit. What can we do? And so they eventually connect with an attorney named David R. Dow. D-O-W, y'all. David R. Dow. Okay? When Dow reviewed the case with his team, they found that the evidence that pointed to Francis's guilt did not outweigh the evidence that pointed to her innocence.
Really?
And so here's the thing. Now, this is an educational moment, right? In a court of law, when you are accusing somebody and you're piling up the stacks against them, you have to prove that they were more wrong than right, right? And that's how they're typically found guilty unless you just have this plain evidence or a confession.
I'm gonna tell you.
Or whatever.
God bless the United States. I'm gonna just leave it at that. The greatest country in the world. Okay.
But DJ, the wrong didn't outweigh the right, according to David.
Only in America. Only in America.
So they say that in addition to that, Francis, and this is quote, okay, had the worst death penalty lawyer in the history of death penalty cases in United States history.
I swear,
it don't get no worse than that.
Do not get a public defender, y'all. Oh, any money. Can you get together $500 and put together a down payment? I figure some of them will probably take 3 if they really believe in you.
If it's a high profile case, some of them will take it pro bono because they just want their dame out there.
Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. In the history of lawyers.
In the history of lawyers. And how far has lawyers gone back? I think Abraham Lincoln was a lawyer, right? Oh, so it goes all the way back to...
Wow.
Way back when. And this is the worst of the worst of the worst of the worst of the worst.
Talk about Buzzard's luck. She ain't had no luck.
Man, how would you like, as the attorney, how would you like your name associated with that? But well, you know.
He's just happy to be getting a paycheck.
Exactly.
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 Wrong mind frame for a lawyer.
Oh, my God. In fact, after the trial, the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals found that her original defense attorney, and given the name, y'all, okay? So if you live in Texas, do not get him as a lawyer. Ron Mock. That is who her original attorney was. M-O-C-K. Ron Mock admitted to doing little research on Francis' case and later was suspended by the Texas Bar Association.
There now, you have it. My there point it is. Proved.
There it is.
My point proved.
There it is. And I'm surprised that they did not disbar him. To me, suspension is lightweight. You should have disbarred him. He can no longer be trusted with any client in the history of the United States of America. I'm going to tell you,
that's by design.
It is.
What's free or what's low class is cheap and laughed upon. I mean, you're not going to get good service. What's high priced and looked at as high class, you'll get the best service. So that's just
and
what
I,
it is.
And you make such a good point, DJ. And I just kind of want to caveat off of that one because... Or piggyback off of that, because the other thing is when you're picking an attorney, they have to believe that you are actually innocent of what they are, what the people, the prosecutor is accusing you of. If they just take your case to get a paycheck, they're not going to go hard for you.
At minimum, they got to believe that they can get you off. At minimum, they got to believe that.
Hey, we can get you off, but worst case scenario, we're going to plead it down to whatever, right? But if they're not coming at you and saying that...
And don't tell me that you just didn't do nothing.
Nothing. And admit it to it. You doggone right. And that makes me feel like, you know... Oh, in case I didn't tell you guys this, Frances Newton is an African-American woman, okay? That makes me feel like maybe he was racist. I mean, let's face it, this is the state of Texas, and it is a death penalty case.
She's African-American. Oh, that changes everything.
Everything.
You didn't say that. In fact, we never say the race of
We try not to say our race because we try to keep it even unless it's called for.
Oh, they did it because she was black.
Yeah.
I mean, by the way, you know what it was. Like, you didn't give a...
And he probably really thought she did it. So why would I defend somebody? That's why, as a defense attorney, that's a different kind of position.
See, now
to
I'm
have.
Looking at things different. Did she really do it? If she was black, they could have really fucked her over.
Exactly.
Hold on, I'm looking at things different now, y'all. So let's go, Lady A. Okay. What's happening?
So while Frances, her new attorney, David Ardell, that's the one I told you, who agreed to take on the case because the bad did not outweigh the good.
Right.
They take on the case. And they began filing appeals on Frances' behalf.
For sure.
So at that time, Frances did receive her execution date, which was scheduled for December 2nd, 2004. So here's the thing. In the state of Texas, that's one thing I always try to point out whenever we do a case in Texas. If you get the death penalty in Texas, unless a miracle from God happens, that's exactly what you're going to get. They don't play out in Texas. So try not to go and get into some trouble that would make you eligible for the death penalty, because that's what you're going to probably get. And that is, you know, so that's where we stand. Once they find you guilty, that's what it is. They give you an execution date and blah, 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 blah. Okay. So through the years of the appeals process, things go from bad to worse for poor Frances, okay? There was mishandling of blood samples, ballistics testing not being accurate, and debating over whether there was one
black,
or two
black,
guns
black, black
used
problems.
In the killing.
What?
Exactly.
See, that's some bullshit.
Yeah, yeah. Finally, okay, a man in prison comes forward and says to another man in prison, he actually confessed and says, I am the one that killed Adrian and those kids. And so, of course, once he comes forward, all of this...
What? Hold on. I knew it, but... go ahead.
Yeah, another man in prison told another prisoner that he killed Adrian and the kids.
Right, but okay, and that's my thing about prison, y'all. What's up with these prisoners lying?
I don't know.
Because there's so many times you hear about, I did it, I didn't do it, I did. You taking blame for murders you didn't do. Like, so you never know with this, but I am thinking different. I mean, did she do it, Lady A, or what?
And here's the thing, we gonna see. I'm gonna tell you, personally, myself, it's questionable. I do believe it is questionable. I think that for police officers, especially homicide detectives, and y'all know this, oftentimes they will just pin it on somebody because it fits.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Especially it's like you were in the perfect situation at the perfect time in the perfect moment, so you must have been the one to do it. Mm-hmm. And that's how innocent people get locked up.
Exactly.
You
and
know,
we've seen it time and time again.
Time and time again.
After serving 20 years in penitentiary, they were exonerated.
And DJ, that's coming out more and more about how people, you know, I'm so glad that there are these innocence projects and these different people who are choosing to fight for the people who have been screwed over by defense attorneys, screwed over by prosecutors who just want to eventually get to the governor's seat or the mayor's seat or whatever it is they're trying to got a personal goal for, and homicide detectives who just want another notch in their belt.
That's it. Preach on, sister.
It's terrible. So anyway, this man, he comes forward. We've already got the issue with the ballistic. We already got an issue with the blood samples and all of this. And the attorneys for Francis, they all have to follow up on this kind of stuff and research it and really kind of get some background on this. And even with all these discrepancies that came out after the trial, Francis's days to execution is getting closer and closer and closer. And eventually, she is transferred from the Huntsville prison to the infamous Texas Death House.
Woo, the Death House.
I mean, damn.
The Green Mile, that's your final walk,
that's
y'all.
That's your Green Mile,
that's
huh?
It.
Dead, what they say, dead man walking. Mm. Dead man walking. Make
gonna,
way, there is a dead man walking here.
You're going to come in alive.
But you can go out in a body bag. That's going to be that's what it, it is. That's what's going to be what it is. And here, and I know you guys are probably thinking, well, wow, that was fast. But it really wasn't. You know, you have to keep in mind that when they give you a death date and they say da-da-da, they're making room for these appeals because they take so damn long.
How long actually occurred?
So when this happened, this was 1987. When Francis was actually,
when it went down, it was 87.
When it went down with the murders and all of that, they scheduled her for 2004. And oh, you know, wow, I have to imagine wow. There's a whole bunch of other people in front of you. So you just, your number is 679. That'll place you about December 2nd, 2004.
Well, hey, if it happened in 87, 97 is 10 years.
Yeah.
07 will be 20 years. So it took them less than 20 years.
It took them less than 20 years. But you have to allow for the appeals process.
Right.
And that takes a long time. It does. It's, I would often say, it's easy as hell. And DJ, I think we both say this. It's easy as hell to get into some trouble. But it's hard as shit to get out of it, ain't it?
Yep. Amen. Preach it. Preach it. So talk to me about the little buddy in jail. Oh, no, I didn't. What happened?
Well, that's the thing, okay?
Like I thought.
It didn't pan out enough to win an appeal. It never does. And so, again, now Frances is in the big house. She went from the Huntsville prison to the Texas Death House. That's where they do the actual executions.
Yeah.
The
death row.
Death row. So as Francis sits in the death house, new light is shed on the issues with the forensic lab testing. And on December 1st, okay, y'all, because what day did I tell you that they had sentenced her? She was supposed to die December 2nd, okay? On December 1st, 2004, literally 2 hours before her execution, Governor Rick Perry, who was governor of Texas.
Rick Perry.
Y'all know who Rick Perry is.
He called in.
He met the hook. Put a stop on it.
Tell me that to God. Amen.
Amen.
Get the what?
He sure did.
I thought that only happened in the movies. I never thought that really happened.
It happened.
That's real life.
In real life.
Rick Perry called and said, don't kill that woman.
Yep. He called it.
Tell me that to God, y'all.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
I mean, 2 hours before
she
was scheduled to die, he put a halt on it because there was some new evidence that came forward when it involved the lab. So what he did was, he did what they call is a stay of execution.
Right.
And he extended her for 120 days.
At least he did that.
Right. So evidence could be retested in her new execution date.
He did her a solid.
He did. He did.
Yep.
And so he gave her a new execution date of September 14th,
right.
2005.
So my thing is, Lady A, so let me find out she didn't do... Continue. I want to hear what's happening.
Isn't it crazy?
Because it looks crazy because she did take out the life insurance, right?
Right.
So one and one normally equals two.
Just because somebody takes life insurance out on you doesn't mean they're plotting to kill you.
Right. Ooh, season two. I'm intrigued. What's happening?
I'm telling you, y'all. What we season doing two it? Is bigger and better.
MRG got it on a lot.
It's crazy. Okay, so Francis's lawyers continue to work extremely hard, and this is David Dowd, his attorney. That's a win for them, right? I mean,
big
to
win.
Get a governor to do a stay of execution 2 hours, y'all, right, before she's supposed to get the needle.
Especially for a Negro.
For a black woman. That is big. And for her having been accused of killing 3 people in her family. That is huge. That was a huge win for them. They're like, oh my God, we're going to pull out of the fire on this one. The governor, you know, who's a Republican.
Yeah.
I mean, that was also huge from a Republican aspect because we know Republicans ain't too friendly.
So now we got the momentum, lady. Hey, where we going? What we doing?
So now they're working like triple overtime to try and identify the actual murderers, so Francis could be released. Now they're shooting for the goal, okay?
Yeah, right.
We brought it to the 1 yard line. Now we're trying to turn it over for the touchdown, right? So they run into issues, okay? They soon realize that they can't actually identify the true killers. Why? Okay, because the police did not do their jobs in protecting the DNA samples, the lab work, or the ballistic testing.
Something got to be done about this police system.
I swear to God, man. Oh my God. There should be like a compound of protests going on.
Because that happens all the time. So what? Whether she did it or not, she going to walk because the police
because they
up.
Failed to do
they
their job.
Do their job.
And here's the thing. All of this stuff is in their hands. And your defense attorney, your trial attorney, all of these people are at their
right
mercy.
Now, I wouldn't let them watch my dog, let alone watch my evidence.
Nope.
Come on.
Mm-mm.
Oh my God. Barney Fife ass.
And I'm about to tell you why. Prosecutors claim that residue was on Francis's skirt at the time when they charged her with their murder, the family's murder, right? But that actual test did not come out until a week before her trial even started. So there was no way prosecutors would have been able to identify the residue immediately.
What?
Prosecutors claim, or the police claim, there's residue at the hem of her skirt at the time that she was arrested. But they didn't actually confiscate that skirt from Francis. And it wasn't tested until a week before her trial. Come on now. What the hell?
But my thing is, was it still there?
That's the thing. That's the problem. Okay? That's the problem. Because the prosecution said it was there. All right? But new attorneys want to have that skirt retested. Prove it. Okay? Prove how you knew that before her trial started. Okay? But the skirt had been stored in the same box as the clothes of the 3 victims, creating cross-contamination. Now, how that work?
Hey, we're going to have to do something about it.
How do that work? That's somebody can call us up and let us know why the hell you knew she was going to immediately go for an appeal. Why the hell would you put her stuff in the same box as the victim's clothes?
It's typical. And like I said, God bless the United States.
Oh, my it's God. Typical.
That's all it is. If it don't fit, you must acquit.
Yep.
That's it. If it's contaminated, we can't take it.
We can't take it.
That's it.
Thank you. Ballistic testing first indicated that it was a .25 caliber gun. Coincidentally, the same gun she hid, right, in the house.
Right.
Then they indicated that it was a .22 caliber gun that was used. So first they said, no, it was .25. The same gun that she hid from the house. Now they're saying, no. It was .22 that was used to kill those kids and the husband. Okay, well, who's right? Well, we don't know because we don't have neither one of the guns. So we came. Flip a coin and we'll just go with that one.
I might have lost the words. I mean, I'm really not because I know that they're lousy. But it's just like, y'all that bad?
Bad.
Wow.
This proves, y'all, that if they want you to be guilty, guess what?
You will
be guilty. You will be guilty because they do not care. They will do anything and everything they can to make sure that the evidence fits their scenario.
Yeah, that just goes to show that we need to absolutely police ourselves. It has to be some type of vigilante law going on in a good way, whether it's not. But you cannot, I repeat, depend on the police to protect you. You can't.
Nope.
Or do things right. Or a plethora of other things that I'm not even going to get into.
Yep.
Damn.
Isn't that crazy? So with these issues, okay, with these specific issues, and these were the make or break of the case, right? No appeal judge would go back and review the case to even grant an appeal.
She caught between a pimp and a hard place.
A pimp and a hard place. Okay? Like, for real. So it gets to a point where protesters rally behind Francis, calling Rick Perry and the Texas justice system murderers.
Okay, protesters. That's my shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got out there. Okay.
They went out there and they rallied. And they were like, you guys are freaking murderers. All you want to do is kill this woman. You don't want it. You know that somebody else could have potentially done this. And you focus from the beginning on her.
That's my folks right there. Okay, so what was the outcome of that?
And this all happened after the appeal rejection, after all of these appeals from different appeal judges started to pour in. And one final act, Francis's attorneys appealed to the Texas Board of Pardon and Parole. So, you know, there's like other steps. If you can't get the Supreme Court and all the other judges or whatever, then they'll start to go to different avenues to try to, you know, plead their case. And this too yielded no results. And once again, Francis is transported back to the Texas death house. So now this is her second trip to death house. And I suspect when she got back the first time, she probably told a whole bunch of people, yeah, but this is what it looked like. This is what you do. This is what's going to happen. Da, 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 da. Just to prepare you.
I'm sure.
For when you have to take that trip, a dead man walking.
Crazy.
At this point, the only person that can save her now is, once again, the person who saved her before, Governor Rick Perry.
We can't keep looking to Rick Perry. Damn. Hey, he gave you one. I don't think he's going to give you two, though. Let me ask you, Lady A, what do you think? I guess it ain't fair, but it ain't looking good. Because here's my thing. I thought she did it. Then I thought maybe she didn't. But I'm back to thinking she did it again.
I've always been conflicted with this story, and that's why I brought it to the podcast, because part of me feels like she didn't do it. But part of me feels like she did do it.
Right.
Because here's the reason why I kind of feel like she didn't. Because I would think that if they were dead rock solid on the information they presented to the jury at her first trial, they would have never, ever put her skirt in with the other information, like with the other clothes of the victims. They knew that that would be cross-contamination. They would have never said, well, it was a 25, and then turn around and say it's a 22. I mean, those are little nooks and crannies of things that just make you question and be like, well, if you solid in what you had to say, because how many times do we see appeals happen every day where sometimes it comes back with new information or new things? Why would somebody in prison say, I did this? You know, at this point, when you're in prison and you're on a death case, literally, your attorneys either have to have a coming to Jesus moment.
Yeah.
Or they have to have another person to kind of step in and take your place. To say, she didn't do it. Little Johnny boy over here was the one that ran up in there.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? They have to have that. And it's all or nothing.
Let's bring it home, Lady A.
So at this point, like I said, the only person that can now save her is the person who saved her before. And that's Governor Rick Perry. Her attorneys actually filed a 30-day stay on her behalf at 5:50. On September 14, 2005, which is, again, was the day that she's scheduled, Governor Perry rejects Francis's appeal.
I figured that.
And the execution is scheduled to move forward. So That's it. You know, he rejects it. You haven't brought me any information.
Any new information
that would make me want to give a 30-day reprieve or whatever. Francis decided not to have a final meal or give a final statement.
What? She didn't say nothing?
That's your right. She didn't have
a final meal or a final statement?
She didn't eat a final meal and she did not have a final statement.
I'm not
going to
lie. That's kind of weird to me because I'm absolutely going to want my meal and I'm absolutely going to read y'all for filth for executing me and I ain't do the damn thing. So
she could have been in complete shock though because maybe she really believed that she would get this 30-day reprieve. You know what I'm saying? She probably really believed that. And I thought that her appeals team did a damn good job of really dissecting the shit that her first attorney failed to do the first time around. Yeah. Because that could have been the difference between her getting death and her getting life in prison if she had been convicted.
Damn, Lady A. So did they go all the way? What the fuck happened? Did they kill her? What?
So at 6:09 p.m., the drugs were administered to Francis. What? And she was pronounced dead.
She didn't make it.
She didn't make it.
Damn.
She did not make it. 8 minutes later, she was pronounced dead at 6:17 p.m.
What the fuck?
She did. Francis was the
Woo!
Yeah, isn't that crazy? I know. She didn't make it. She fought hard and she fought long. But she, unfortunately, did not make it. Francis was the first African-American woman to be put to death in the state of Texas since the Civil War.
What?
She was 40 years old at the time of her execution. Many people still support Francis to this day and feel her execution was unjust and plain murder. They believe that because Francis was a poor black woman, she never had a chance from the very beginning.
And I kind of felt that the only thing was that life insurance policy. When you put a life insurance policy on somebody within 3 weeks of their death, it ain't going to look right for you. But man, I was pulling for her.
I really was too. And it
MRG
really,
is cold. I wasn't expecting this, Lady A.
I'm telling you, the thing that really got me about this is the magnitude of... I feel like she really was truly doomed. So I can see how people feel that way. She had her first attorney marked as one of the worst death penalty attorneys in the history of the world. Much of it was probably because he had never done a death penalty case before. And he probably didn't even know how to even start for real. And instead of being honest about that, and people, we need to be honest about the things that we can't do or we are inexperienced in, because if you pretend and act like you know, then situations like this happen. That woman's life was literally in her first attorney's hands.
Seek help. Get guided.
Be honest. Thank you. It's sad. It seems so unnecessary.
Right. Find a mentor or something.
Thank you. And or be recused. Request to be recused. Listen, I have never tried a death penalty case before. I don't know anything about it. This is over my head.
But
I am not comfortable.
Again, he was a public defender. So, notes to self. If there's any way you could get anyone other than a public defender,
please
go that route. If you have $200 or $300, you're good. You can find someone else.
Go to your local church hall.
Yeah.
They'll raise an offering for you. Okay.
Nice. Good game. I hope you heard
they
that.
They really will. They'll support you if they believe you are in trouble and you're innocent and a good person. You'd be surprised who rallies behind you.
Don't kill your spouse.
Please
right.
don't kill
Obviously,
yourself.
That's obvious, but you just took out a life insurance policy on him, and you killed him within the same month. Come on.
Please don't kill your spouse, and absolutely don't kill your kids.
Lord.
Don't kill your kids. Don't kill your kids now. Even if you want to kill your spouse, don't kill your kids.
Lady A, I have forgot about the kids. Yeah. So my thing is, at the end of the day, Francis earned what she got.
If she did it. There's still controversy surrounding whether or not she really did it.
What do you think? What do y'all think,
what
y'all?
What do you think? What do you guys think? Feedback.
This was a cold story.
I mean, it's crazy because she's dead and gone now, right? I mean, she's gone. But did she really, truly do it?
It don't look good when you gone all day and your whole family comes up missing.
Or dead.
Dead, I mean.
Murdered.
Dead in missing.
Your family home.
Dead and gone.
That's not a good look at all.
So, she was pronounced dead when?
She was pronounced dead. They, you know.
Yeah, it's over. It's death over. Penalty, lethal injection.
She was young. She was young, DJ. Old. She was young, 40. You know, and she had been fighting this her whole life. And let me tell you, okay, just a side note for y'all, them lethal injection drugs, they were quick. They gave it to her at 6:09. By 6:17, she was out of this world. 8 minutes is what it takes. They give you one dose. That makes you woozy. And then they give you the second dose or whatever. And that puts you to sleep and stops your heart. That's what the lethal injection. Death by lethal injection.
And that's it.
And that's it. And you know, there's been some controversy in other states where they feel that it's inhumane, you know, to kill someone, and just because they killed someone doesn't mean you should kill someone, and all of this whole foolishness. I am an avid supporter of the death penalty.
Absolutely.
Flat out, I am.
To me, an eye for an eye. If you could take a life, then they could take your life.
Yep. I just don't believe that taxpayers should continue to pay, because that's what we're doing. Yeah, they're locked away. We're paying for them to be locked away.
Telling you.
That's it. So, you know, we're off to a very good start in season two.
We off to a great start. This was fire.
This was crazy.
I was not expecting. I'm so sorry, friends, I had to go through that. But if she did it, she deserved it.
If she didn't do it, God bless her soul.
And at the end of the day, two babies was dead, so somebody got to go.
Somebody got to go.
I'm sorry. That's that.
Okay, so you know what? Yeah, before we get out of here, right? We really want to bring up something that's very near and dear to us. Which was season one, we announced that we give one gift card away, and it was an Amazon gift card of $20 that we would give away.
And we was getting love, right?
Oh my love. God. Thank you guys so much for loving us.
Man.
We love
MRG
you right back.
Popping.
Forever, right? Okay, so we got a lot of people who actually had responded. They did a lot of likes and things of that nature for us. We appreciate you guys. And we do have a winner.
Winner. You are a winner.
Congratulations to Sunshine G. Thank you so much. Thank you for being a faithful listener and following us on Twitter. We appreciate you. Thank you guys so much. And all of you who entered, who just support us, who love our stories, who always give us positive energy, who just love MRG, Lady A, DJ. When we come on air, we bring everything to the podcast.
We bring our heart. Yep. We bring our heart. And Lady A, let's keep it going.
We will give our next giveaway. So be tuned to stand throughout the season. So we kind of sporadically do these giveaways just to see if y'all listening. Okay.
Right.
All
right.
We just want to make sure y'all listening.
God damn it. You know what? DJ Philip Froggy, God damn it. Hey, let's make it a weekly thing. Let's boss up.
Yeah.
Let's boss up.
We gonna announce our next
$20 weekly.
$20
from DJ. DJ back for it. Word. Just listen to me.
DJ
listen to us.
Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Greed Romance to get entered into our giveaway. And then also leave us a review on wherever you get your podcast fix. Apple, Spotify, whatever, Google Play, whatever. Make sure that y'all tune in and pay it forward. Anybody that y'all know, let them know that we're doing this, and we appreciate y'all. We thank y'all so much for just supporting us.
for staying down, for staying loving down. Us. And I don't care what Lady A saying, we giving away $20 gift card a week. Bottom line, praise. That's on DJ. We love ya.
We love you guys. And until next week, where we will be back, DJ, to talk about our next story. This is going to be the Ramona Campbell story. And let me tell you, let me think. If you think Frances Newman was good, you just wait till I tell you about Ramona Campbell story. Next week, season 2, episode 2.
What's our social media?
On Twitter, at Greed Romance. Hit us up on mrg.podcast1@gmail. And we will make sure that we give your, play your feedback on our website, Twitter at Greed Romance. Okay, y'all? Twitter at Greed Romance. So make sure you follow us.
And we love y'all.
And until next time, y'all. Peace. Hey, everyone. It's Lady A.
And DJ. Hey, listen. If you want more amazing episodes of Money, Romance, and Greed,
make sure you subscribe and rate us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcast fix. And we want to hear from you.
For inquiries, show ideas, or general comments, hit us up at mrg.podcast1@gmail.com. That's mrg.podcast1@gmail.com.